You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So the classic Queen song Bohemian Rhapsody was turned into a COVID-19 parody last month, garnering millions of online views. And you might say the stay-at-home order is a catalyst for a new breed of homemade viral songwriting. Let's listen.
Too late, my time has come. Send shivers down my spine. Socialize.
Carry on. Are there coronavirus parody songs that you've been drawn to? Tell us, 800-642-1234. Adrian Grimes of Madison is lead vocalist for the band The Solution. He's known for his Freddie Mercury-like voice, and he's saying the coronavirus rhapsody there set to the tune of Queen's classic Bohemian Rhapsody. Adrian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. We also have Dana J. Bine, who is a Massachusetts-based comedian who wrote the lyrics to this COVID-19 parody. Dana, welcome to you.
Hey, thank you for having me. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. I understand that it basically takes a sore throat and feeling ill to give you like a big boost of creativity or something. Like, give this person an ill feeling and you just go with it.
Yeah, I guess... You know, I'm inspired in strange times.
So you were feeling under the weather. What were you thinking at this time, and what did you do?
Well, I don't think I was thinking very clearly. I think similar to many, many people in this time, I was feeling anxiety based on my symptoms, which were allergy and cold-like symptoms. So... You know, I felt a scratch in my throat, sang the first couple of lines out loud, and it was like lightning struck, and I sat down and banged out the song in less than 10 minutes. It just, you know, there was no premeditation. It just kind of happened. So it's a strange inspiration.
Yeah, Dana, why Bohemian Rhapsody of all songs?
I don't know. It just struck me. I do a lot of goofy things. I do voices, I sing songs, and I don't know why. Maybe it was Freddie himself, you know, channeling himself through my sore throat. I have no idea. But, you know, I'm not even a massive Queen fan. They're just so consistent in the zeitgeist that, you know, it just happened.
Oh, in the zeitgeist. We have to hear a little bit more of your lyrics, which ended up being a little bit different. Let's have a listen.
Is this a fever? Is this just allergies? Caught in a lockdown, no escape from the family.
So, Adrian, what did you think when you first saw the lyrics on social media?
Well, I just thought they were genius. Somebody had posted this to my Facebook page, just the first couple of lines, and so I did a search and I found the rest of it, and I thought it was absolutely genius. So I reached out to Dana. I found his website, and I reached out to him, and I said, hey, can I record this? And I was so nervous that he'd say no that I actually sent him a previous YouTube video that I'd done just to show him that I do have the chops kind of thing. Anyway, he very graciously said yes, and it turns out that he said yes to about another 100 people, and there are literally hundreds of videos out there of people doing this particular song. And I have to say, there are some out there that are better than mine. There's a band, for example, called Shelter Skelter, that have done a very close rendition, very close to the original Queen song. And I actually think it's better than mine because it's an actual band. I'm just a singer.
With a voice.
It turns out that, yes, I do have a voice that's quite similar to Freddie Mercury's. And I think that's why it just got the traction it has. I put it out very shortly afterwards. It took me about between 5 and 8 hours, I think, to record it. So it was out very quickly, and I shared it on YouTube, thinking that, you know, a few friends of the band would listen in and like it. And very quickly, I think in the first 2 days, there was something like 300,000 views. I was just shocked. But that's how it happened. So
collaboration was born. We have Dana J. Bine, comedian based in Massachusetts, who wrote the new lyrics to Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. Adrian Grimes there is a Madison musician who recorded the lyrics, and that was heard around the world, creating a pandemic hit. You can join in with your pandemic hits. What are you listening to? Have you found some songs that would stand to have a parody done with them? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Dana, as you said, you know, you banged out the lyrics in 10 minutes. But, you know, did you go through any rewrites or tweaks? Did you make adjustments as you went?
You know, I wish there was really any planning whatsoever. It's funny because I've been doing comedy on and off for 20 years, and there are things I've worked really, really hard on that nobody gave a crap about. And this I wrote in my underwear during quarantine, and you know, right now over 100 million people have seen some iteration of it. So it's you know, there was really no, I wish there was foresight. I wish there was planning. It really was just dumb luck. It was a fluke. And I have to give lots of credit to musicians like Adrian, who, you know, when it started to go viral, people were demanding that I make a video, and I'm a bad singer when I'm healthy. And at the time I had a sore throat, you know, I sing like a dead fish. So I created the hashtag, put the call to action to the internet. I said, hey, hashtag coronavirus rhapsody. If you want to make a video, do it. All I ask is that you credit me as the writer and you share it with me when you're done. And, you know, Adrian was he was in the first wave of musicians who just nailed it. You know, and as he said, there are hundreds of versions out there, and it's pretty mind blowing how much this connected with people. Adrian's version is one of, as far as I know, one of at least 10 versions that's gone over 1 million views on some platform. So my virality sparked other viralities, and it's fascinating how far and widespread the song has gone.
And now you have a whole clearinghouse of this song. You have an inventory, a warehouse of it, of all the different versions.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've got to give credit to the musicians and artists and, you know, people around the world who made versions. It's pretty humbling and at times tear-jerking to know that I spread joy and laughter all over the world in one of the darkest times of our history.
Adrian, what was it like for you to record these lyrics? Did any lines give you any trouble?
A couple. And in fact, that was one of the reasons why I changed a couple of lines. It was, for me, it was very difficult to sing, "Is this a sore throat?" And so I just changed it to, "Is this a fever?" Because it was a little bit closer to the original lyric. And there were a couple of others as well where it just felt more comfortable. It wasn't a question of changing them because I thought they were better or needed improvement. It's just they were more comfortable to sing that way. And the very last line, which I changed to, "You know, this is your responsibility," was I guess, just something to point out, I think, almost immediately, that this was an important message. Because it's not just funny. There is actually a very important message in that. And I think Dana deserves a huge amount of credit for helping to get that message about flattening the curve out there. Literally hundreds of millions of people have seen this and gone, oh yeah, we should flatten the curve. It's been great.
Coronavirus Rhapsody is a Queen parody. We are talking with Madison singer Adrian Grimes with lyrics by comedian Dana J. Bine. You can join in. Are there curious coronavirus parodies that have comforted you at this time? We're at 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking about coronavirus parody music that's surfacing on the internet. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Madison musician Adrian Grimes released a parody version of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody last month. It's called Coronavirus Rhapsody. The lyrics are by comedian Dana J. Vine, and they stress how important it is to stay inside as the pandemic continues to put pressure on our health systems. We have them both with your thoughts on this type of music. Have you tried your hand at this? Written or recorded any coronavirus parody songs? How is music or comedy helping you through this time? We're at 800-642-1234. And Adrian Grimes and Dana J. Vine stay with us. So, Adrian, there have been other coronavirus parody songs recorded during the pandemic, including Staying Inside, a take on the Bee Gees' Staying Alive. Others have recorded new versions of The Sound of Music. Do you have any favorites?
I do. In fact, you've named one of them, the Staying Inside. Brent McCulloch is a guy, I'm not sure where he lives. Again, I just reached out to him when I saw his video. The wonderful thing about that is it was shared by John Travolta himself. And then this weekend, Brent actually put on Facebook, the Bee Gees even shared his video, which I think is amazing. But there's also a guy called Chris Mann, who I think was, he played Phantom of the Opera when it toured the USA. I think he did about 70 shows in that. He was on The Voice. And I think he's become the Weird Al of this particular pandemic. He's had four or five songs. They're genius. One, he's done a version of Adele's Hello.
I love that one.
Superb. And he's very funny, very subtly funny in these times. And again, just some really lovely messages. The first one I actually saw was a guy called The Singing Dentist, and he's done a version of Ice Ice Baby, which is Virus Baby. And he does incredible things with his eyebrows as well. So that was one of the first ones I saw. And that's great fun. There's a lot.
Dana, do you have any eyebrow tricks or any other other things you could work in here, parodies that you've been liking?
It's amazing, and I'm sure Adrian's dealt with this as well. I have been tagged in literally every parody that anybody's ever seen since this was released. And so I went from being a stand-up comic to parody guy overnight. So it's been pretty overwhelming. There are so many parodies right now, and they're all pretty great. I'm impressed with people's technology and editing abilities and just outright creativity in their homes. It's just all I did was write lyrics, which is something anybody, and then some of these people have like full production companies in their bedroom. So, you know, to pick a favorite would be difficult, but I'm overwhelmed and amazed by people's drive to create even now.
Let's bring in a call now. Mike is joining us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Mike.
Hey, so I'm just tossing this out as a possible suggestion to anyone who may want to do it. What about the COVID shuffle to the music of Do the Hustle, and then it could be like something the whole family could do, kind of a line dance with that awkward, you know, when you're walking in somewhere and nobody knows exactly who should step forward and, you know, I think it could be done for the video and the song, I'm just saying.
I love that. Adrian, what do you think? The COVID shuffle.
Yeah, again, a wonderful idea. And that's another thing, just sort of following on from what Dana said. Again, I have been inundated with suggestions, you know, how about this one and how about that one? I do have a full-time job, and it's kind of difficult to put this stuff together, even in quarantine. I have done another couple of songs since then. But, you know, they don't take the first one is just, you know, a bunch of lyrics that I put up on a black screen. And I've tried to be a bit more elaborate since then and actually do some videography. So it takes a lot longer than the original 5 hours that I put into this one. But, yeah, some amazing suggestions from other people and full lyrics as well.
Hey, Mike, could you take a stab at this? Do you have any talents you could offer this?
I came up with the idea and the video thought, so I think I'm going to just play my hand there and just call it a day.
You're just going to be the big thinker.
You should do it.
Oh, dear. Well, we're talking with Dana J. Bine, who is a comedian who gave a pandemic twist to the classic Queen song. And Adrian Grimes is with us, a Madison musician who recorded the song. And you can join in with your parody ideas at 800-642-1234. So, Dana, I understand that you've been laid off from your day job. How are you doing in this time?
Thank you so much for asking. It's been really up and down, a complete roller coaster. So I was laid off from my job the same week that this went viral. I work at a day spa that specializes in massage therapy and hot tub soaks. It's a very incredible local business in Cambridge, and we were forced to shutter and close indefinitely for pandemic reasons. So that was extremely heartbreaking and a gut punch. So, and I couldn't even speak about it publicly for about a week after I found out. So here I am going viral in countries all over the world, and locally I'm just devastated. So that's been tough. I'm much more privileged than many people, so I have a few streams of revenue still. I'm gonna be fine. But my community may not be. I live in a wonderful neighborhood in Cambridge called Inman Square, and a lot of my favorite local businesses and comedy clubs are in trouble right now. So for me, personally, I'm fine, but my anxiety for my circles and my community and some of my close friends is high.
How have you been trying to stay creative during this time? Where are you channeling this energy?
You know, it's funny. I can't really help it. You know, I tend to be creative in the darker times. I'm more motivated now than I've been in a long time. So I've been writing some stand-up. I've been, you know, on demand writing a few parodies. I've been, you know, some people have solicited me to write parodies for their cause or for their business. So I'm working on some of those. And creativity comes pretty naturally to me. So I feel lucky for that. I'm just staying busy, trying to eat healthy, trying to work out, and, trying to be there for as many people as I can. I'm trying to flip the attention I've gotten here to help some of the people who are struggling, both individuals and local businesses, because ultimately, if we're going to get through this, we're going to get through it together. So,
Adrian,
we got to take care of each other.
Yeah. Adrian, how about you? Your day job is a biochemist. What is your life like these days?
As far as, you know, as Dana was saying, I'm fine. I'm actually a medical writer. I work for the pharmaceutical industry. So I've been tapping away at a computer from home for the last 3 or 4 years. So that hasn't changed. It's affected my wife's work. She's a clinical pharmacist, and she's been a sort of part-time furlough. She's dropped down her hours because, you know, people aren't going into the hospital setting for sort of routine operations and surgeries. So it's affected us that way. And obviously, I'm affected by the fact that schools are all closed, and I have a six-year-old and a nine-year-old. So we're attempting to get through the homeschooling, which is
I hear ya.
Quite a joy. I'd hug a teacher when you get the opportunity, at least a virtual hug, because those guys do something that I just can't get my head around at the moment. So that's been a huge impact, trying to deal with telling our kids that they can't go out and hug their friends and hang out with them. And so that's been very difficult. But other than that, you know, life kind of goes on as normal for us. But I also have to sort of chime in with what Dana was saying. There are lots of local businesses around here, you know, our favorite restaurants and things like that, where they've just shuttered, and we're concerned that they will never open again. So it's weird how the community has been affected.
So, Adrian, after recording Coronavirus Rhapsody, you went on and you followed up with another Queen song, this one a tribute to healthcare workers. Let's listen to some of it. So poignant, so real, so true. How did this come about?
Actually, that was one of those suggestions that I received by a couple of complete strangers. They reached out to me, a lady in Britain, and also a grandmother from Arizona said, hey, why don't you record You Are the Champion, or We Are the Champions, but change it to You Are the Champions, and praise all the healthcare workers and essential workers. So I reached out to friends on Facebook and said, hey, send me photographs if you want to be featured in a new video. Received them from literally all over the world, and put those into the video, with the idea being that, you know, as well as this being a pandemic that we can all try to cheer each other up over by doing parodies, there's also some other serious messages. And I just put that out there as a... as one of those avenues where people could, you know, share it with their friends who were essential workers and say, hey, we're thinking about you.
Well, Adrian and Dana, thank you so much for joining us, and take care.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Dana,
have a great day.
You too. Dana J. Byne there, a Massachusetts comedian who gave a pandemic twist to a classic Queen song. Adrian Grimes, a Madison musician who recorded the song Coronavirus Rhapsody. Carry on, carry on. All healthcare champions, thank you so much. We'll be back after this news update here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thank you for listening, and thank you so much to everyone who made a donation during our spring member drive. Support from people like Leanne in La Crosse sustains the news and information that you appreciate here on the Ideas Network. To ensure the resources are in place, we fundraise throughout the year, but that has all been affected at this time. And so if you missed the drive, your gift now at WPR.org is especially important. And thank you so much for your support. Right now, on this Earth Day, scientists say even though climate change did not cause the emergence of COVID-19, it could indirectly make the effects of a future pandemic worse. This is because climate change undermines the environmental conditions we need for good health, and it adds new stresses to our health systems. So what can be done about public health issues related to climate change, like insect-borne disease and water contamination, air pollution? We're at 800-642-1234. Dr. Jonathan Patz is director of the Global Health Institute and professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences and the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison. Dr. Patz, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, great to be back with you.
So we know that climate change is harmful to human health because of so many factors, including air pollution, natural disasters, you name it. But there's also a link that's less obvious between climate change and infectious disease. Help us understand the connection there.
Well, climate change affects many infectious diseases. These especially those carried by insects, insect-borne diseases, because insects are cold-blooded. So imagine a mosquito that's carrying viruses or parasites. The air temperature dictates the body temperature of the mosquito, so it has a direct effect on transmission dynamics of diseases like malaria, dengue fever, Zika virus, West Nile virus. The other thing about climate change is intensity of rainfall. And when you have intense rainfall events, then you have water contamination. So there are links to cryptosporidiosis, like the big epidemic that hit Milwaukee in 1993. Cholera is affected by warmer sea surface temperatures. So, you know, there are so many climate-sensitive infectious diseases, and that's why climate affects these diseases.
Let's look more closely at interspecies infections. In a warmer world, animals are more likely to transmit diseases to other species, including humans. Why is that?
Well, the issue of, you know, this cross-species, it's actually called spillover. A virus will spill over from one animal to another, and then even into humans, which is what has happened with COVID-19. And it's a combination of land use change and climate change. I mean, land use change, deforestation is a big driver of land use change. And that disrupts habitats where wildlife are forced to move and congregate, and you can change the density of a particular species that may be, it may have a disease transmitting amongst individuals. And then imagine forcing that population to move when you've destroyed their habitat and they come into more close contact. The disease can intensify and then spill over, and they, shedding viruses, for example. And the climate change aspect comes in when you think about climate's effect on habitats, you know, where species have to move because they can no longer withstand temperatures. And you have forest fires. So this combination of climate change and degrading natural ecosystems, they come together to, combine to change species distribution and range. And that's where we come into problems of this imbalance, where diseases that wouldn't naturally occur because of a rich biodiversity and species spread out in their natural habitat to being confined and coming into contact more frequently. Of course, then there's the other aspect of human behavior, the wet markets of China that intensified issues where you have species piled on top of each other in cages. And there, that was a ripe situation for the spillover from one species to another.
A ripe situation there. As you're saying, climate change has meant more disease from animals like bats and monkeys. Where do you see that connection with the emergence of the coronavirus?
Well, bats are they're the main reservoir for coronaviruses. And when you disturb their ecosystems, and you may have bats that are changing in their density, that's one issue. But then when you have these wet markets where you have illegal wildlife trade, you have intentionally raised wildlife mixing with other animals in these concentrated wildlife, these wet markets in China, then you have a situation where a coronavirus, say from a bat, can intermix with another animal. I do want to point out, bats are probably one of the most important species for our own survival. Nectar-feeding bats are pollinators. Fruit bats they disseminate seeds, and they're nicknamed farmers of the tropics. they eat tons of mosquitoes. They're insectivores. So bats in their natural habitat are extremely valuable for us and for our well-being. But in these unnatural systems, there are stories in Australia, the Hendra virus that was killing horses and people. It was from the deforestation in Indonesia and fires that forced those bats to congregate in city parks and around horse paddocks that was where you had that eruption, the Hendra virus. But right now, the COVID, the novel coronavirus that's causing the COVID-19 pandemic, the genetics of that look like it's a combination of bat coronavirus and pangolin, this anteater that's been illegally, it's an endangered species that's been illegally traded. And so the genetics look very close to coming out of a pangolin and definitely not manipulated out of a laboratory.
We're talking with Dr. Jonathan Patz, who directs the Global Health Institute at UW-Madison. On this Earth Day, we're looking at our climate. We're looking at it through the lens of the coronavirus. What are your questions about the link between climate change and increased rates of infectious diseases? What are your questions about interspecies transmission and spillover? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Patz, let's talk a little bit more about that, because there has been some sentiment that this coronavirus came from a lab environment. What do we know there?
So I have read some of the latest papers that have come out that have very specifically looked at that question. Did this come out of a laboratory? And there are several papers now, very detailed papers, looking at the mutations, very specific mutations in these viruses. You have to have these animal viruses need to mutate such that they are able to attach to human cells, which they wouldn't normally. And it's a matter of these viruses recombining across species and then having mutations that allow them to bind to human cells, that's when you get the problem. And there have been very detailed analysis of genetic trees and looking at the similarities of very specific genes and genetic analysis that show such similarity to pangolin and bat that these are studies. Usually you don't get 99% agreement, but these are studies that are very conclusive that show that for sure this did not come out of a laboratory, that this is very close to natural natural coronaviruses found, and for reasons that are over my head, because I'm not a molecular biologist, but I've looked at these studies and I've talked to colleagues that are expert virologists that say it is very conclusive that this came out of a natural combination and not man-made out of a laboratory.
Let's look at land use a little bit further. How does the destruction of animals' habitat and how we change the use of the land and change an ecosystem, what connection does that have to disease and climate change?
Well, there's a lot of interrelationship between land use and climate change. For example, deforestation, that reduces the ability for the earth to absorb CO2. Trees absorb CO2 and take greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere. So deforestation is part of the climate change story. Even though most of it is from burning fossil fuels, you have that element of losing the carbon sink when you cut down forests. The reason that we are changing the landscape, are there many? They're from agriculture, and there are aspects of cutting forests for pastures, cutting forests for wood. There are the industrial farming and issues of cutting down forests for oil palm, things like that. There are many reasons we're changing the landscape. The other aspect here, though, is the human intrusion into natural systems. Bushmeat hunting, and that takes humans into more contact with wildlife. So this combination of habitat destruction, but also human intrusion into natural systems, those are things that give us an increased risk of these newly emerging diseases from wildlife.
Dr. Jonathan Patz explaining the connection between our changing climate and the spread of infectious disease. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What can the global response to COVID-19 teach us about a response to climate change? We're exploring that question on this 50th anniversary of Earth Day. Climate change and COVID-19 are both public health threats, but they're playing out across vastly different time frames. Dr. Jonathan Patz directs the UW-Madison Global Health Institute. He's an international authority on global warming, and he stays with us. Let's take a call now. Rich is with us from Rhinelander this morning. Hi, Rich.
Good morning. It seems to me it took humankind quite a long time to reach 7.2 billion units on this earth, and exponentiality is in the news these days. There are even little TV segments that show animals returning to streets that human beings have vacated. I'm wondering if the doctor can address the whole idea of population growth as an explosion of population over the globe really being something that merits renewed attention.
Rich, thanks.
So interesting question. And I think that when you look at the root of these issues of the state of our global environment, they come down to two things. And one is the number of humans on Earth and the per person consumption of natural resources. And I would say that, you know, we are having much better, you know, so those are the root causes, but we're having much better progress as far as family planning and being able to stabilize some of these fast-growing populations. But we are not having as much success in the per-person consumption of natural resources. So I think both of those issues are important. Certainly, we need to look at our Earth's population. But I think where our problem is in the amount of energy consumption per person. That's where we're having trouble. You know, this epidemic, you know, talking about wildlife in the streets and people staying at home, there's another thing that I think all of us have seen lately in the news, and that's these beautiful pictures of clean air in the most polluted cities in India and other parts of the world. And when you look at those pictures and you see that, you know, since our global economy has shut down because of this pandemic, much of our economy is driven by fossil fuels. And when you recognize the fact that air pollution kills 7 million people every year, I think here's a big lesson when you say, well, when we restart our global economy after this pandemic, do we really want to go back to this outdated hazardous energy source? You know, burning oil and coal takes us backwards. And so this is a sort of a silver lining lesson in this pandemic when you see clear skies over New Delhi, India.
Let's bring in Scott now in Green Bay with a question. Hi, Scott.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the wet markets in China, and I'm kind of concerned about the racism towards Asian Americans and other folks. But here in the U.S., we've got the factory farms. I was wondering if you touch on the potential of diseases coming out of awful conditions of factory farms or animals are packed so tightly together.
So like a question about CAFOs there, these factory farms that Scott is wondering about.
Yes. You know, the CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations, pose their own risk. And, you know, that high density of animals often requires use of antibiotics. So when you are using antibiotics in the feed of these domestic animals, that leads to a different emerging disease problem of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So that is an enormous problem, as well as all of the waste, the animal waste that comes from these CAFOs poses a threat to our drinking water. So there are some big issues with concentrated animal feeding operations, for sure.
Dr. Patz, as climate change has accelerated in recent decades, have we seen more pandemics? Is there any relationship there?
Well, we have. It is documented that we are seeing more emerging diseases around the world. It's hard to disentangle how many of those are from on the ground destruction of habitats, especially from deforestation and climate change. There is evidence of diseases moving higher in altitude, and altitude is a good surrogate for colder temperatures, the higher you go up. So there is evidence of diseases moving upward like that, and also changing in their distribution geographically. But it is complicated when you have to combine climate effects and on-the-ground destruction of natural habitats. But we are, if you look at the monitoring of emerging infectious diseases, especially these coming from animals, they are on the rise.
We're talking with Dr. Jonathan Patz, director of the Global Health Institute at UW-Madison. On this Earth Day, we're looking at our warming planet and the link to infectious diseases. David from Upper Michigan called in, couldn't stay with us, Dr. Patz, but David wants to know if there is a connection between forever chemicals called PFAS and people being more susceptible to infection.
Well, I think that I don't know specifically about PFAS effect there, but anything that reduces our immune system. And I think that if you look across our country and actually in many parts of the world, the increase in chronic diseases, obesity, diabetes, these types of diseases do reduce our immune system. So in some ways, I also work in the area of chronic diseases and the problem of physical inactivity. Exercise increases our immune system quite a bit. And so to the extent that we have more sedentary lifestyles and automobile dependency around cities, the less we are actively traveling, you know, biking and walking, that also puts a dent in our immune system. So there lots of factors. Anything that reduces our immunity puts us at higher risk. And of course, going back to the other question, other issues like antibiotic resistance and things like that make our immune system very hard to deal with those types of infections when we can't have help from antibiotics.
Some environmentalists have argued the response to COVID-19 proves that global leaders do have the ability to come together to fight threats to humanity. What are your thoughts there through that lens of climate change?
Well, you know, this is also a wake-up call that not only are we at risk from pandemics that in this case are rooted in environmental degradation, but we also have learned that we can have a huge global response and have these moonshot types of behavioral change and interventions where we've completely turned things upside down in a rapid response to this pandemic. Well, climate change itself is a global health emergency. And when this pandemic is over 2 or 3 years from now, and we've got a vaccine, hopefully within 2 years, that, you know, we have climate change as a global health issue looming. And so if we can take this level of intense intervention around the world, I think that it demands that we, and it shows that we can take this level of action against an even larger global health emergency, which is climate change, which can touch us in so many ways, from heat waves to infectious diseases to malnutrition. And so if we can if we can change our economy and get off of fossil fuels and reduce the deforestation, these are steps that we need to take, and we need to take them at the same level as we're responding to COVID, because climate change is a health challenge.
Dr. Patz, thank you for joining us.
Kate, it's an honor to be with you again.
Dr. Jonathan Patz is director of the Global Health Institute and professor in the Department of Population Health Sciences and the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies at UW-Madison. Just ahead, loneliness, anxiety, grief, dealing with the mental health impacts of the coronavirus. We look at the acute emotional challenges and what that means for the future of mental health care in America. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.